Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School in Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Raw Milk Update right after this. Well, Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. While his coffee pot made in Japan is perking, he puts on his blow dryer made in Taiwan. He goes to work, shaves with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. Then he puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan, his designer jeans made in Singapore, a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. And then after cooking up some breakfast on his new electric skillet made in the Philippines, he sits down to figure out on his calculator made in Mexico how much he can spend today. Then after setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out and gets in his car made in Germany, goes looking as he has for many months for a good paying American job. Then after the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while, so he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, turns on his TV made in Japan, and ponders again why it is that he can't find a good paying American job. And instead of a good paying American job, why doesn't Joe look for a good paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Now, it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click on the email, send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we've been talking about real milk. It's called the Raw Milk Update. Got it out of Acres USA. They gave us a report the other day. It's in the December. This is the December 2007 issue, page 37, Raw Milk Update. Demand increases despite a campaign of fear. Well, the campaign of fear against raw milk has been going on for my entire lifetime. When I was a youngster, I was raised on raw milk because in California we could get it, and Harry Connick produced it. So when I was a little kid, we bought raw milk in glass bottles with a blue lid. The cap was blue. Red was pasteurized milk. Now, my old granny, God bless her, she knew the difference between pasteurized and homogenized milk. She never went to college. She only went to the eighth grade. But you know, those old ladies just kind of instinctively knew right from wrong, good from bad. And so my old granny bought raw milk. Now, I went to work on a dairy. I drank raw milk. I got off the dairy in about 1964, went to the city, and drank pasteurized milk. I drank pasteurized milk from 1964 until 1984, 20 years. In 1984, I had a heart attack, and so Dr. Lester, an old naturopath, sent me in. He said, well, you're plugged up, and he asked me the question. He said, do you eat a lot of fat, a lot of hamburger? And I said, no, I don't. I eat some, but I don't eat a lot. And he said, do you drink pasteurized milk? And I said, oh, yeah, I drink lots of pasteurized milk. He said, that's what gave you the heart attack. That's why your arteries are plugged up. And he explained it to me. He's an old-time naturopath. Now, you're going to say, well, that naturopath, you see, that's quackery. Hang on a second. This old doctor, this old Doc Lester, was a medical doctor also. After World War II, he went to medical school. He got out of medical school about 1952. He went out and started practicing medicine. And then he went to a naturopathy school, and he learned naturopathy. Why? Because, in his words, he said, I was killing too many people. That's right. That's what the old doctor told me. He said, I was killing too many people. And it bothered me. He also went to chiropractic school. Now, here's a guy with three tickets. He's a chiropractor, a naturopath, and a medical doctor. And his specialty was oncology. He treated and cured cancer. He had been doing that up until 1984, from 54 to 84, 30 years. He had specialized in cancer as soon as he got out of naturopathy school, nature school. And he only lost one patient to cancer. He had one patient die in 30 years treating cancer in Ontario, Oregon. I thought that was a pretty significant record. Now, I reported to you an old Mormon midwife. In 30 years of practice, he had 6 babies die on him. Hell, most doctors have 11 babies die on him every year. 11 per year. He had 6 in 30 years die. So I just wanted to point out to you that there's no such thing as 100% certain. And if you drink raw milk, there's no such thing as 100% certain that you're not going to get sick. In fact, we found back in the 1890s that raw milk is a convector. It's a modality for the conveyance of disease. So what we decided to do was, rather than clean up the milk and produce a clean product, that we would pasteurize it. Now, 100 years later, there's a movement going on. The demand is increasing, despite the government campaign of beer against raw milk, that there are more and more people want to buy raw milk. And so it's like the controversy over homeschool. There are more and more people every year that are homeschooling their children. You know, if this trend continues, public school will be history. And the same thing with vaccinations. More and more people every year are taking a look at vaccinations and saying, well, I'm not sure that vaccinations are really all they're cracked up to be. And about 12% of the population of this country, that's 12% of 300 million people, about 36 million people, all told, are homeschooling their children, shunning vaccinations, and feeding their children raw milk. 88% of you people out there are following the conventions of modern medicine and modern education in your government. You send your children to public school, you feed them pasteurized milk, and you have them shot up with 35 vaccinations by age 5. Now, as a result of that, when we compare these two groups of people, we find that there is a vast difference in their health. We find a vast difference in their knowledge and their educational skills. Public school is a poor second to homeschooling. And vaccination is a poor second to no vaccinations at all. And pasteurized milk is a poor second to raw milk. Now, there are people on both sides of the issue that are out here campaigning vociferously trying to get you to change sides, trying to get you to give up vaccinations, give up public school, give up pasteurized milk. And I'm sure that they all mean well. I'm not here to get you to give up anything. I'm a reporter. I take subject matters that are in the news, subject matters that are controversial. And then we go do the research on it, and then we come back and we give you a report. And the report that we're giving you here on raw milk, facts. Now, there's an outfit here called realmilk.com. And if you'd like to get more information, then go to realmilk.com. And let's take a look at the law behind raw milk. Let's suppose that you want to buy raw milk, and you're getting converted here. Now, where are you going to find it? Where are you going to buy it? And what does the law say about this thing of raw milk? How do you get around the bans and the prohibitions concerning raw milk? Though most doctors say there is no good science to back up these claims, raw milk drinkers believe that pasteurization destroys beneficial proteins and enzymes that help with digestion and strengthen the immune system. I'm going to underline this. Most doctors say, there is no good science to back up these claims. Well, I'm a researcher and I'm a reporter, and I'm going to tell you that that's not true. I don't care what most doctors say. I don't care if 99.999999% of doctors say there's no good science to back up these claims. That's not true. That may be what's popular. That may be what most people believe. But what most people believe isn't necessarily true. Now, there's an outfit called the Pottinger Institute. Write that word down, Pottinger, P-O-T-T-E-N-G-E-R Institute. They started back in the 1930s. They took a look at raw milk versus pasteurized milk back in the 1930s. They discovered that 4 generations of cats fed on pasteurized milk go sterile. Have you taken a look at America's gay community fed pasteurized milk over the past 100 years? Just thought I'd throw that one out there for you to chew on for a while. There's an outcome that comes from what we eat. So it is true that if you're eating food that's contaminated with salmonella and E. coli, you could run the risk of coming down with those diseases. But if your immune system is working, it doesn't make any difference if you're eating E. coli or salmonella. Your immune system will head them off at the pass, round them up, kill them all, and throw them out. It's people that have weak immune systems that get sick. Your immune system is designed by God himself to protect you from disease. And your immune system is only as strong as the food that you eat. Eat bad food, eat weak food, and you get weak bodies. You get a weak immune system. All right, now that's number one. That doesn't tell you that you ought to be drinking milk that's full of E. coli and salmonella. I personally would prefer that my milk don't have disease pathogens in them. But when you listen to most doctors say there's no good science to back up these claims, that's not true. There's all kinds of good science to back up the claims concerning raw milk. I said, not all raw milk is equal. You can produce dirty raw milk or clean raw milk. You can produce dirty pasteurized milk or clean pasteurized milk. The logic behind it says we want clean, whole, raw milk. And we want clean milk because the cows, what they eat is very important. A sick cow produces weak, poor, sick milk. Can't produce anything better than that. If you're planting a garden out here and there's no boron in the soil, no iodine in the soil, there will be no boron and no iodine in the plants that grow in that soil. And you can't get something out of something that doesn't exist. Now, it happens that boron, copper, iron, these trace elements are necessary and imperative. You need to get that into the soil so that the plant can get it out of the soil so that you can eat it in the plant. Same thing is true with milk. Now, while it is claimed that most doctors say there's no good science to back up these claims, raw milk drinkers believe pasteurization destroys beneficial proteins and enzymes that help with digestion and strengthen the immune system. Now, realmilk.com answers that claim and says there are many valid scientific studies on the health benefits of raw milk. And for a small sample, see our abstracts on the effect of pasteurization on the nutritional value of milk. So that's the title of an article that you can get from www.realmilk.com to rebut the argument that says most doctors say there's no good science to back up these claims. And I'm here to tell you that I haven't gone to realmilk.com to get their analysis, but I can tell you right off the top of my head, I've already been through this a time or two. I've reported on raw milk in the past, and I can tell you the Pottinger Institute has that information, had it clear back in the 1930s. And listen, don't let anybody tell you that there's just some ignorant doctors out there. There aren't any medical doctors that are ignorant. There aren't any. These guys don't go to college because they've got anything better to do. These are the creme de la creme. These people that go to medical school, you know, are the brightest and the best in the country. Now, they know better. But they've got a party line that they adhere to because their party line is where their butter comes from. It's where they get the butter to put on their bread. Medical doctors have an axe to grind, and they grind it. And they make a lot of money doing it. As old Dan Rather used to say, you know, follow the money. And so if you're looking for a product for yourself, then I suggest that you go to realmilk.com or the Pottinger Institute. Here's another guy who wrote a hell of a book. His name is William Campbell Douglas. You want to write that down, William Campbell Douglas. He's got a website. He wrote a book called The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. Now, that book has been updated. The name has been changed. He's added some more material to it. You can get it from his website, I'm sure. William Campbell Douglas, go to his website. He wrote a book called The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. The guy's a medical doctor, but he's also a researcher, and he's not brain dead. And he said, let me tell you the story here about pasteurized and raw milk. And he does a hell of a job of it. So any doctor that says most doctors, or anybody that says most doctors say there's no good science to back up these claims, is a liar. He's not ignorant. See, there's a difference between being ignorant and being a liar. And if you're ignorant, you might make a statement like that. But if you're making a statement like that, you know better, you're a liar. Medical doctors know the health benefits of raw milk. They know the negative health benefits of pasteurized milk. And I just reported to you, I think, in the last program, that the medical doctors that come through this school, when I ask them, do you recommend raw milk or pasteurized milk, they'll say, I don't recommend any milk. None. Zero. Zilch. Period. Milk is bad for your health. That's right. Medical doctors all know that pasteurized milk is the norm, that pasteurized milk is the party line. And they know that pasteurized milk causes bad health problems, so they recommend to their patients, don't drink milk. And so they say to you, milk is for infants. It's not for adults. Don't drink milk. That's another lie. Milk is for adults. It's for infants and adults from 9 months to 90 years, designed by God himself. Now, that's what the Bible tells you. Now, either God's telling you the truth and medical science is lying to you, or medical science is telling you the truth and God is lying to you. You can make up your own mind. But now there's a law behind this raw milk, a law. To cite just an example, in 2006, a study by the Journal of the Allergy and Clinical Immunology reported that childhood consumption of unpasteurized milk resulted in large reductions in the incidence of asthma, eczema, and hay fever. Blood tests revealed that drinking raw milk cuts levels of histamine, a chemical produced by the cells in response to an allergen, by more than 50%. This study corroborates numerous reports of asthma in children, a life-threatening condition that is increasing in frequency, clearing up after the introduction of raw milk into the diet. So the medical doctor, he looks at asthma, he looks at pasteurized milk. He doesn't say to himself, pasteurized versus unpasteurized. He just looks at milk, which is 99.9% pasteurized. That's the only stuff you people can get. And he sees asthma. He sees milk, asthma. He sees the connection. He says, don't drink milk. It's only for infants. The people that have drank or do drink raw milk don't have asthma. And the asthma is cleared up by the raw milk. And that's because the raw milk has the enzyme in it that you need to digest it. If you can digest it, you can get rid of, you can get over your allergies, asthma, and things like lactose intolerance. You can't do that with pasteurized milk. That's the cause of the problem. So here again, you know, God didn't make a mistake when he designed cows and he designed milk. You know, there's a connecting link there, and he's revealed in the scripture. Just take a look in your concordance. Look up milk and butter and see how God deals with milk and butter. Then look up fat and blood, and then look and see how God tells you to deal with fat and blood. Pour it out on the ground. Don't eat it. All right. Now, the problem for devoted milk drinkers is that it is illegal to sell raw milk for human consumption in 23 states. Now, laws vary from state to state, so raw milk drinkers around the country use loopholes to legally get their milk. In Ohio, for instance, the law only allows people to drink unpasteurized milk from a cow that they own. Now, we can't all own a cow, much as we maybe would like to, said Maria Rethman, a cow herd share owner. So we see this as a perfect opportunity for our family to buy raw milk. Rethman is one of the 150 owners of a well-cared-for herd of dairy cows in Versailles, Ohio. The kids enjoy it. We always laugh. There's our cows. We call them our cows. None of these owners are actually farmers, but as members of a herd share program. They each own a percentage of these cows, which means that they can legally drink the raw milk produced there. All right, now I reported to you, I believe it was from Acres USA, that North Carolina or Wisconsin or Georgia, I forgot what state it is, passed a law prohibiting this share ownership. Prohibiting the share ownership. Now, as a matter of law, I think that that's unconstitutional. I don't think you can do that. I don't think the state legislature can prohibit me from owning a share, a percentage interest in a dairy. And I don't think that they can prohibit me from drinking the milk. So what they do is they go after the dairy. See, they zero in on the dairy itself and close it down. And then they take it into litigation. And hell, even if the dairyman wins 5 years from now, he's been put out of business and you've been deprived of the source of your milk for all these years and the taint and the newspaper headlines and the bad publicity and all the rest that goes with it, you see. So that's the way that they put him out of business. Now, as a matter of law, when push comes to shove, the dairyman will prevail if, in fact, he's on the right side of the issue. Now, I pointed out to you here a couple of programs back, oftentimes these dairymen are on the wrong side of the issue. And as a result, they're in commerce. And they can be regulated and controlled under Hale versus Hinkle. And I think I cited that for you. It's 201 U.S. 43. And on page 75 tells you the answer to that riddle decided back in 1905 concerning individuals and corporations. So in 23 states, you can buy raw milk. In the other 25 states, 26 states, 27 states, 27, I guess it is 30, yeah, 27 states, you can't buy the raw milk. So what you can do is you can buy a herd share. Or you can buy pet milk, or you can do something else. They call these loopholes in the law. The truth of the matter is the herd share isn't a loophole in the law. It's a provision that is deliberately left in the law because of the constitutional restriction against legislating against it. And it was first brought out by the Supreme Court in Hale versus, or not Hale, but it was Miranda versus Arizona. And it says this, where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no legislation which would abrogate it. So if the Constitution provides for something, like the prohibition against government impairing the obligation of our contracts, if we want to contract with somebody, we can do that. Now, you cannot contract to do an illegal act. So if the state prohibits the consumption and sale of raw milk, you cannot contract with me to provide you with this raw milk. Now, there's something else that we could do. We could go out here and we could contract in this way. We could sell you. I could sell you a 1% interest in this cow. And then you could hire me and pay me money to milk that cow for you. In other words, I'm going to milk that 1% interest in that cow. Now, that we could do. Now, the legislatures and the dairymen and all the rest of them, they're not ignorant as to what the hell's going on here. When they see that, they say, well, we got to shut that down. So here's what's going on behind the scenes that you and I and everybody else don't see. There's no ignorance on the part of the dairyman, and there's no ignorance on the part of the advocates for raw milk. Both sides know. Both sides understand the issues. And so they go back into their own smoke-filled rooms, and then they work out strategies whereby we can best the other side. Now, the big players in the game are the dairyman and the—and I say dairyman. I'm not talking about the dairy farmer, the producer. He's a non-sequitur. He didn't even come up in the negotiations. The dairyman, it's the Mid-America dairies. It's the big dairy corporations. Those are the dairymen. And they sit there with their lobbyists, and they sit there with their legal, their law firms, working out strategies to best and to defeat the raw milk producers, the raw milk consumers. And they have to do this within the context of the Constitution of the United States. And so then the raw milk producers, they sit over here in their smoke-filled rooms, and they say, how are we going to get our product, raw milk, out to more and more people? Well, here's the way we have to do this within the constraints of the Constitution. So that we can bypass these laws, statutes, rules, and regulations that are enacted by the state, actually enacted by the dairy men, the dairy corporations. Now, both sides know the pros and cons. They know the health benefits. They know the downside to the health issues. They know the diseases that it's caused. The doctors know the answers to these riddles. But each one of these groups, the doctors, the dairymen, the raw milk producers, they've all got their own axe to grind. They're all axe grinders. And they're all competing for your dollars, the consumer's dollars. And so the medical doctor over here, he has his official line because he doesn't want to take sides one way or the other. And then the raw milk producer, he has his story to tell. And then the pasteurized seller, producer, he's got his line. And they're all competing with your dollars. And so confusion is out there in the marketplace, not because science doesn't understand the issues or the corporations don't or the medical practice, medical doctors don't understand what the hell's going on here. Everybody knows. The only people that are ignorant are the consumers. That's Betsy Housewife. She doesn't got a clue. She cannot connect the dots. She reads the paper, and she sees these conflicting claims. She can't put two and two together. She doesn't have all of the input, and so she ends up deceived. Now, the objective on the part of the dairymen, that is the dairy producers, the pasteurized milk people, it is to make it so difficult for you to get this product called raw milk that you'll give up in disgust and just buy the pasteurized milk because it's easier, it's more convenient. See, the pasteurized product is right there in front of you in the dairy case. You can't miss it. The raw milk, you've got to go find somebody to produce it for you. Then the government, allied with the dairymen, will work against that dairy operation and try to put them out of business. So it's difficult for any dairyman to get into selling raw milk to start with. So it discourages the dairy producers, the guy that actually owns the cow. He says, it's too much hassle. I don't want to do it. And he's right. And that's the guy they target, because it's easier to target that one guy than 50 people in a parking lot buying raw milk. And that's bad publicity to go after the consumer. You go after the producer. If they went after the consumers, you see, you people would get mad as hell, and you'd go to your legislature and start raising hell. They're not dumb. You know, the people, the government agents out here, they're not dumb people. So all these people are vying for, they're all working for your dollars. That's what the prize is. We're all looking for the money. But all these people have their own axe to grind. And so they've all got their own little piece of disinformation to give you. The raw milk guy says, raw milk, it's the panacea that'll give you good health. Yeah, if it's clean and the cows are fed correctly, it's true. They've got a better product. But unfortunately, most of that raw milk that you're buying is coming from dirty cows. So you're not getting a better product. Maybe it's a little better than the pasteurized, but it's not the good product that you really want. And the real milk people over here have told you most of the truth. And I couldn't find anything in their articles over here that I would really jump up and down and rail against. The pasteurized people over here, they've got the ear of the press, they've got the ear of the government, they've got the money, they've got the lobbyists, and they've got most of the sales. 99% of the milk sold in this country is being sold pasteurized, homogenized, through the dairy case at your local store with the tacit approval of the American Medical Association and your government. All right, now they're the guys that are on top. But growing rapidly is this little minority of people out here that want to buy raw milk. And a few cattle producers or a few milk producers that are willing to stand up and be counted and take the heat and take the risk. Remember, there's a lot of risk involved here. Because if you've got your cows, it's safer to just sell your milk to Mid-America Dairies than it is to take it out to the parking lot and sell it on the street. You're running the risk if you take it out and sell it on the street. Hey, we'll be back with more on this raw milk update as soon as I find my paper here to give you a report. Maybe I'm not going to give you. Here it is. The FCC and many countries around the world require that we identify ourselves and tell you who we are, what we're doing, what we're selling, and why. And if we don't, then they get real mad at us, and then they want to send some bureaucrat over here to break my doors down. So let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour may be political, hostile, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, while they're mine and mine alone, they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. 67. We are reviewing the article from Acres USA called Raw Milk Update. Demand increases despite campaign of fear. Remember, the Acres people can be contacted at, let me turn to the page here, Acres USA. They're down in Austin, Texas. They've got a phone number. The number is 512-892-4400. I just give them a call on the phone and say, hey, Bob, what do I have to do to get a copy of the December issue, December 2007 issue of Acres USA? That's the article that I'm covering here in this series of programs called the Raw Milk Update. There's a second source of information, I think, that's really dynamite here, and it's called the www.realmilk.com. And they're a group of people, they've got an axe to grind, and they're trying to get you to drink raw milk. They think it's better for you, good for you, and they think you ought to drink it, and if you're drinking pasteurized milk, you're out of touch with reality. I agree with them. I think that's true. And I'm an advocate of raw milk, and I've got an axe to grind. And my axe to grind is that I think that everybody should have both sides of an issue. I'm dead set against this monopoly that is exercised by government to tell you one side of the story to the exclusion of the other side. So I'm not here to tell you that you ought to drink raw milk or that you ought to stop drinking pasteurized milk. My job in life is to disseminate information. So I go out and research the information, bring it here, put it on the air, and say, okay, now here's the source. Here's where I got this. Now, if this interests you, then you go check it out and you find out whether or not I'm lying to you. And then that gives you both sides of the story. And then I think that if you have all of the information, you can decide for yourself what's best for you. I don't believe for a moment that you need me to become your guardian and tell you that you should or should not drink pasteurized milk. I think that any normal, active, intelligent human being can make that decision for himself, all by himself. I honest to God believe that you can decide for yourself whether or not you should smoke marijuana. And so somebody's going to say, well, that guy Gordon, he's for the legalization of marijuana. You're right, I am. You're right. You're going to say, well, that guy Gordon, he's a libertarian. And you're right, I am. I think that people are better judges and better deciders of those kinds of issues than our government bureaucrats. And the government has a role. I think the government should indeed inform us that raw milk kills 8,000 babies a year in New York City. I think that was a great public service at the time that was done. That was a great job. And I think that the production of raw milk in 1895, that was dirty raw milk that killed 8,000 babies a year, I think that was a crime, and I think that it needed to be exposed for the crime that it was. Now, that said, another crime took its place called pasteurization. And the pasteurization actually worked out to be worse. In other words, the cure became worse than the disease, because now pasteurized milk kills many more than 8,000, but it doesn't kill them in the same way. You see, now your children are dying from cancer and a whole host and plethora of degenerative diseases, including diabetes, which is directly associated with pasteurized milk. Diabetes. Connecting link. Pasteurized milk. I think diabetes is worse. It doesn't kill you directly, but it kills you over a long period of time. And so I think that if you had that information, and you can get that from William Campbell Douglas, he's got a chapter in there on diabetes and the connecting link with milk. I believe that's the book. It's called The Milk of Human Kindness is Not Pasteurized. That's his old book. I don't know what the name of the new one is, but if you'll go to his website, William Campbell Douglas, medical doctor, lives down in Georgia. Last time I heard about Douglas, he's down in Georgia. Hell of a funny guy. His book is just hilarious. I think you'll, you know, it not only is it informative, but it's also funny to read. Now, while consumers have certainly jumped through hoops to get their raw milk, most of the legal burden has fallen to the relatively few farmers who produce it. Dennis Stoltzfus' quiet life as a Florida dairy farmer was interrupted 2 years ago when armed state agents raided his farm. I felt violated. It was awful. I didn't know if I was going to lose my livelihood, he said. We had two girls. My wife was pregnant with number three, and I didn't know if I was going to lose everything or go to jail. Now, Real Milk gives us realmilk.com gives us a little story here. It tells us that Dennis Stoltzfus is not the only raw milk farmer being harassed by the authorities in an age where tons of food with dangerous additives is processed either here or abroad. Think Chinese pet food imports. And then sold to unwitting consumers with little government scrutiny. Now, you've probably been reading about that. You know the Chinese are shipping a lot of food in the United States, tainted. Now, nobody gets excited about that. But Jesus, just let some guy go out here and produce raw milk. And they're not selling it to the general public. They're only selling it to the few screwballs, you know, the few nutcases out here that want to buy it. And then they go out to this guy's farm and they raid it to put this guy out of business. Again, I'm telling you, it's not about health and public safety. Nobody gives a rat's rectum about your health and public safety. What we care about is the $20 billion a year milk industry. That's what we're protecting. And so read about the undercover sting and a police raid that happened to farmers in Kentucky and Ohio. And even if, and that's a big if, patrons of an individual raw milk farmer become ill from his or her milk, the people affected would include a small group of people who are educated about raw milk and have freely chosen to drink it. See, it's not that we're going out into the public domain and selling this raw milk to you people here at Safeway or Kroger's. Hell, Kroger's and Safeway won't handle this stuff. The only people in America, boys and girls, that are drinking raw milk are people who are knowledgeable, educated, and go out of their way to go buy it. I told you before, if you think that raw milk is so damn common, go out and buy a gallon right now. Just go buy a gallon of raw milk. I reported to you last time, you can find heroin easier than you can find raw milk. Or so it was reported to me by one of my students. Now, meanwhile, when the consumers became ill, or when they do become ill from pasteurized commercial milk, hundreds or thousands are often sickened. The largest outbreak of foodborne illness from pasteurized milk occurred in March of 1985, when there were 19,660 confirmed cases of salmonella from consuming properly pasteurized milk. Pasteurization is no guarantee of milk safety, and in fact, raw milk destined for pasteurization is allowed to have more bacteria in it both before and after pasteurization than raw milk that is destined to be consumed raw. See this comparison of the health regulations for raw versus pasteurized milk in California. Now, let me make a comment here. Here's a real scandal, if there was a scandal, in the raw milk business. When milk is produced on the farm, it's got bacteria in it. Not all bacteria is bad for you. There's a lot of good bacteria out there. In fact, it's necessary and imperative. You have to have it, and you get it from the colostrum. You got it from the colostrum from your mama, all you little boys and girls out there. When you sucked on your little mama's breast, you got that colostrum, and you got good bacteria out of your mama. All mammals do. Now, there's bad bacteria out there, too. And I told you in a previous program, the reason that we've got salmonella and E. coli in cows is because of the bad diet we give them. Cows are ruminants. They're not designed to eat meat, but we're feeding them meat to get the protein content to get more milk production. That's what gives these cows mad cow disease, eating meat. Meanwhile, it produces an acid environment in their stomach where the E. coli can grow. Now, when we butcher the cow, we got the E. coli in their stomach, and if that gets out onto the meat is contaminated. Same thing happens with the milk. We've got sick cows that we're milking and selling you the milk after it's been pasteurized. And here's the scandal. The bad bacteria that are in the milk coming from the dairy farm goes to the creamery. And it is allowed, after pasteurization, to have more bad bacteria per milliliter than is the raw milk. Can you believe it? If you were in California and you were buying raw milk, the raw milk has less of the bad bacteria than the pasteurized milk that you're buying in the store. Now remember, your immune system takes care of bad bacteria. So let's suppose you drink something, you eat something, it doesn't make any difference. You go to a restaurant, you know, and you're eating and drinking and having a good time. Okay, you don't know what's going on back there in the kitchen. You don't know who's sneezing in your food. You don't know who's blowing his nose and wiping it on his hands and then picking up the utensils. And hell, you're getting disease from the food handlers and preparers that are back there in the kitchen. And you don't always get sick every time you go to the restaurant. See, most people have it confused. They think that because it's stainless steel that it's clean. Boys and girls, snot is snot. Whether the food is being prepared on wood or stainless steel, snot from the preparer is snot. You don't have any guarantee that the salad that you're eating, prepared in the kitchen with spotless stainless steel, doesn't have snot in it. Come on, let's grow up. But fortunately, God, when he designed you, gave you an immune system. And so there's bad bacteria in this snot that was prepared in the stainless steel kitchen that you thought was just real clean, which isn't any cleaner than the guy that's producing the salad for you. Maybe he's got hepatitis. That's not a problem. If your immune system's working correctly, the guy's got hepatitis, your immune system throws the hepatitis off. But let's suppose your immune system is weak. Uh-oh, now you got a problem. You got a weakened immune system. This guy's got hepatitis, preparing your salad in a spotless stainless steel kitchen, and you come down with hepatitis. Well, that's what happens to this milk. If the milk is produced, and it's dirty, and then it's pasteurized, and it's allowed to have more bacteria in it than raw milk, and then, as clean and spotless and neat as this dairy can be, this pasteurized milk still has more bacteria in it than the raw milk. Now, here's a little added benefit. I reported this to you earlier. Raw milk has the enzyme in it, remember? And the enzyme is the lactobacillus. And that's a natural antibiotic which kills the bacteria in the raw milk. Clean raw milk, boys and girls, has a natural antibiotic in it. Yes, designed by God himself. The pasteurized milk doesn't. And they allow more bacteria per per milliliter in the pasteurized milk than they do in the raw milk. Now, tell me that the good folks at the Department of Agriculture and the CDC and the FDA have your health in mind. That is such unmitigated hypocrisy that it defies description. The only thing that these three institutions are interested in is money and the protection of the status quo. Nothing more and nothing less. And anybody that's out there buying raw milk, boys and girls, has to go out of his way and buy it clandestinely like buying heroin. And the idea that you're being contaminated or that the government is out here protecting the health, safety, and welfare of an unsuspecting public is just unmitigated hypocrisy. And furthermore, they all know better. And all of those dairy inspectors and all of those SWAT team guys, they all know better. They're not pulling anybody's leg, save maybe for Jane Housewife, who's so damn dumb she couldn't find her hind end with both hands on a roadmap at high noon. With a roll of Sherman, for crying out loud. Now, despite government pressure, this Stutz Foos pressed forward. He says he didn't stop. Customers would not allow us to stop. There's an absolute demand for raw milk. They will not allow us to stop. Well, I don't know, Mr. Stutz Foos. There's a demand for heroin out there, too. And I'm sure that the heroin addicts are all demanding their heroin. But you see, you got the government out here, and they're telling you, Mr. Stutz Foos, that you can't sell this stuff to them. Now, there's rules and regulations. Now, boys and girls, if you want to send your child to public school without vaccinations, there's a way to do that. And if you want to educate your child at home, there's a way to do that. And if you want to buy raw milk, there's a way to do that. And I would advocate that you do it the legal way. Now, every state in the union has certain rules and regulations that are in play. And you need the trick to all of this is to obey all the laws of God, number one, all the laws of the United States, number two, and then all the laws of your state, number three, and to do them all simultaneously. That's what we teach here at the law school. It's a little more difficult. It's a tougher burden, a higher standard. But instead of breaking the law, why don't we take a look at the law and then, well, what do we have to do to comply with it? Every person in America, let me make a statement, there's 303 million people in this country. Every single person in this country who wants to drink raw milk can do that in every single state in the union and do it legally. There's a way for you to do that. Now, if your state government and if your dairy associations and if your medical associations are all working against you, you still have a constitution and you still have a modality available to you. Every American who wants to drink raw milk can do that and do it legally. Furthermore, every single one of you out there who wants to produce raw milk for consenting adults can do that. Now, it takes some doing. You have to have a little knowledge. You have to have a little legal moxie. But you can do it. It's not against the law. If you do it correctly. But oftentimes we get calls here at the law school from people in desperation. They say, well, they're taking my children away from me because I'm homeschooling. Well, okay, they're taking your children away because you're homeschooling. Well, you're not following the laws of your state in your homeschooling program. That's what your problem is. Or they'll complain and they'll say, well, they're doing this, that, or another thing to me. And because I don't have vaccinations. Boys and girls, there's only two states in the union that require vaccinations, and you can get a court order to overcome those. And that's just in those two states. All the rest of the states, you know, have a modality for you to educate your child in public school without vaccinations. Did you know that? And the same thing is true here with raw milk. Now, I've gotten several calls, and people will call here and say, you've just got to help this dairyman up in Wisconsin. Here's what they're doing to him. Well, okay. But I'm not the cure-all. I can't solve every problem there is in America. And the guy in Wisconsin never called me. You know, I always tell people, you know, if you've got a legal problem and you want some help, you can call the law school. But just because you call doesn't mean that I'm going to drop everything and jump in my Batmobile and race out to Hawaii or Alaska or California and take on this case pro bono and solve this guy's problem for him. No, that isn't going to happen. But what we do here at the law school is to educate people, and Mr. Stutz Foos, if that's the way you pronounce his name, it's S-T-O-T-Z-F-O-O-S. I'm not making this up, and I'm not, you know, trying to make fun of the guy. It's an odd name. And Mr. Stutz Foos. We can solve that problem. The people in Florida can buy raw milk, but maybe you can't do it the way you're doing it. Have you thought about that? Now, you know, heroin is against the law, and cocaine and marijuana, there's certain things that are prohibited. Now, the Americans have been pretty innovative in getting heroin, cocaine, marijuana, and by the way, I got to tell you this. I was reading a couple articles here the other day. Do you know what the biggest single agricultural crop in the United States is? It's marijuana. I was amazed. I thought we were importing it. No, not at all. Marijuana, $37 billion a year. It is a bigger crop than wheat, bigger crop than corn, bigger crop than cotton, a bigger crop than soybeans. The four biggest crops grown in America, wheat, corn, soybeans, and cotton, are all in second, third, fourth, and fifth place behind marijuana, which is a $37 billion a year business, which is conducted by farmers who don't get any crop supports, price supports, who are being hassled constantly, who will be arrested and jailed if they get caught producing their product. Can you imagine, you wheat farmers and corn farmers out there, if you had to produce wheat and corn the way the marijuana farmers have to produce their product, and you get no government aid at all? Boy, that tells you something about free enterprise, doesn't it? And it ought to tell you something here about raw milk also. Now, every time that you come up with some new innovative program, you can rest assured that the government, the FDA, the CDC, and the Mid-America Dairymen are going to come up with some counter proposal, some defensive strategy to discourage you, to beat you at your own game. Now, I told you what I thought. The biggest and best solution to the problem is for us to produce our own milk. That is, every individual just goes out here and produces his own. Every family needs their own milk cow. It used to be that way in this country. And then we decided to move to the cities and let somebody else do that for us. Well, okay, but even at that, there are still modalities available to us to solve that problem. So that's what we try to do here at the law school, but to do it within the context of the law of your state. And we've always been successful. You can educate your child in your own home school. You can do it in Michigan. You can do it in Pennsylvania, Connecticut, some of the tough states. You know, the states where they really want you to educate your child in the public schools. You can take your kid out of public school anytime you want. But you have to do it within the confines and the context of the law of your state. So don't forget that's very important. Hey, I'm about out of time here again, kids. We're going to have to leave it right there. And we'll be back next time talking about this thing of raw milk updates. I'll give you some more insights. Meanwhile, let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by pre-arrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And if you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.